Romans chapter 12, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It has to begin with us. And I'm not talking about just those that came to conference. I'm not talking about just those in Missouri or those in Phoenix. I'm talking about all of the people in the Church of Christ. Would Michael and Moses go to Uganda? They cannot go with worldliness and immorality in their own life. When the congregation in Kericho reaches out to their neighboring village, they cannot go with immorality and worldliness in their own life any more than we can go out into the world trying to convert people with it in our life. We must remove it from our congregations. All those things which are evil in the sight of the Lord must be purged from our congregation, must be repented of and returned to no more. As it says, they labored with their mights, but they kept all of the commandments. And that's what made them worthy in the vineyard. He asks us to do a hard thing. But he's not asking us to do the impossible. He has prepared us for this work that is ahead of us. He's given us all the tools that we need. He gave us the power. He gave us righteousness. He gave us his word. He gave us the scripture. He gave apostles, pastors, priests, teachers. He gave us everything we need. And what we cannot accomplish as mortal men, he will do. He will accomplish it. There are certain things that we just don't see how we can accomplish it, how it can possibly happen. I'd like to tell you a story. There was going to be a baptism in a village called Nikeo. A couple of the members from Nikeo had come to Gatuka for some services and studied with us and learned, and a couple of them joined the church. And so they started a little congregation in Nikeo. In this congregation, they met together under a little hut that they normally do. They got a little lean-to shelter with some limbs and stuff up there on some poles to get out of the sun and the rain, sort out of the rain, if it should start raining before the service is over. And so they started meeting there with a couple of members of the Church of Christ. And of course, they had about 20 people that were meeting together, and they wanted us to come and talk to everybody, those members. And so when Andy and Andrew and I were there, we went to Nikeo. And we went there and we held services. And Andy preached and he taught them the restoration story. And we taught them about the look of the Church of Christ and the look of Christ's church and when he formed it on this earth, and we told them these things. And we walked through the village and we went to one of their homes and we ate. And they loved it. They were very interested. And Michael and Moses went back to Nikeo. Not long after Andy and Andrew and I left, they went back to have more classes and to do another baptism service here in this little village. And so they went there just shortly after we left, and they gave the classes. And I just assumed that they had a PA system and a blowhorn, so everybody in Nikeo knew exactly what was going on and heard everything that was occurring, because that was what they'd like to do. And after their teachings, they were started walking. They walked through the village and headed down to the river with the villagers, with the members of the Nikeo congregation following, because some wanted to be baptized. There's another church there, close by, that heard what was going on, and they saw them heading off to the river. Heard they were giving baptism classes and saw them headed to the river. And they too had a blowhorn and a PA system. And they had a church. I'm not speaking against churches, but I'll tell you, it's facts. It was the Catholic Church. And they got on their PA system. And they started announcing on their PA systems, don't go. Don't go with those men. They're evil. They're Satan worshipers. They'll kill you. They will drink your blood. don't go. And they kept announcing it as our people walked down the path. They're standing out to see if they'll return. And what they see, walking back up towards their church, was a Mzungu, a white man. They thought it was one of the missionaries that had just been there, Andy or Brian. It wasn't Andy or Brian. It was a white man, though, in a white gown, walking back towards their church. But they didn't want to talk to this Mzungu, so they ran in the church. They shut the doors and they locked the windows, and they hid inside, so Brian couldn't go talk to him. But it wasn't Brian. Brian wasn't there. The white man walked right through the wall of their church. Didn't say a word. But with a glance, he convicted them of their errors. With a finger, he convicted them of their guilt. I don't know if it's an angel. I don't know if it's one of the three Nephites. But I know it wasn't a Mzungu missionary that would have been out there pounding on the door and never got in and never convicted one soul of that church. But it did convict them. Many of them knew the truth at that day. It wasn't something I could accomplish, Andy could accomplish, Buzz can accomplish, but the Lord could. Some of those that witnessed that are part of the Church of Christ today for obvious reasons. The Lord asks hard things, but He does the impossible. Yes, we have much to do. And the Lord of the vineyard is there with us to help us, to do what we can't do. But we have to labor with our mights. We have a call to work, not to sit here in fear, not to sit here in concern, not to be uncertain about the day in which we live. We should be like the apostles of old. They were excited. They were looking forward to it. They didn't get to see it. Some of you may. Note what it says about these last days. Be excited. Be thrilled, knowing that God has all things under His control. And He's very much aware of the day in which we live. He's very much aware of the dangers that are there, and He's very much of His work and how to accomplish it and how to use us if we allow ourselves to be used. And if we purge from our own selves, those things will keep us from being used. And that is what we must do. Because we must take the gospel to the world. It's as much of the sign of the times as is wars and rumors of wars. And we see it happening. In chapter 10 of 3 Nephi, Jesus speaks of building His church among the Gentiles. He speaks of doing a great and marvelous work. He speaks of restoring the kingdom. He speaks of the authority. He speaks of bringing forth a book, as we have read in the book of Isaiah. He also tells of the pride of the Gentiles, and they're rejecting the fullness of the gospel. But He says if they will repent of their sins, they will become a part of His covenant people. He tells about building a new Jerusalem and the gathering in of His covenant people. He tells about the work of the Father will go forth into all nations so that even the lost tribes that are dispersed out of Israel can be found and gathered in. He speaks of His covenant people that have been oppressed, persecuted, put down, will inherit the Gentile cities and occupy them. He speaks how for the time that He has allowed these things to happen, but His mercy and His everlasting kingdom will be poured out upon them in the last day. I'd like to read from that point, 3 Nephi chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 18 through 26, page 666. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphire, and I will make thy windows of agate, and thy gates of carbuncle, and all the borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and the great shall there be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, that thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together against thee, not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall revile against thee in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And now behold, I say unto you, that ye ought to search these things. Verse 26, Jesus talks about searching these things, speaking about Zion, speaking about the cause of Zion. It comes from faith. It comes from obedience. It comes from doing our part to occupy in His service while He is gone. I'd like to read a revelation. It was given in 1829. It was given before the church was even formed. It's the first five verses of the fifth chapter of the Book of Commandments. It says, a great and marvelous work is about to come forth unto the children of men. Behold, I am God, and give heed unto my word, which is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of both joint and marrow. Therefore give heed unto my words. Behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest. Therefore, whosoever desireth to reap, let him thrust in his sickle which is with his might, and reap while his days last, that he may treasure up for his soul everlasting salvation in the kingdom of God. Yea, whosoever will thrust in his sickle and reap, the same is called of God. Therefore, if you will ask of me, ye shall receive. If you will knock, it shall be opened unto you. Now as you have asked, behold, I say unto you, keep my commandments, and seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. Seek not for the riches, but for wisdom. And behold, the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto you, and then shall you be made rich. Behold, he that hath eternal life is rich. Verily, verily, I say unto you, even as you desire of me, so shall it be unto you, and if you desire, you shall be the means of doing much good in this generation. Say nothing but repentance unto this generation. Keep my commandments and assist to bring forth my work according to my commandments, that ye shall be blessed. Behold, thou hast a gift, and blessed art thou because of thy gift. Remember, it is sacred and cometh from above. And if thou wilt inquire, thou shalt know mysteries which are great and marvelous. Therefore, thou shalt exercise thy gift, that thou mayest find out mysteries, that thou mayest bring many to the knowledge of the truth, yea, of convincing them of the error of their ways, making not thy gift known unto any, save it be those which are of thy faith. trifle not with sacred things. If thou wilt do good, yea, and hold on to faithfully to the end, thou shalt be saved into the kingdom of God, which is the greatest of all the gifts of God, for there is no gift greater than the gift of salvation. A great and marvelous work promised to a servant before the church was organized. He says, you'll have the gifts you need. The mysteries will be open to you, but thrust in your sickle and do the work. Bring souls, bring forth the cause of Zion. Because there's no greater gift. There's nothing in this world that can make us richer than salvation. Eternal life is what's in store for us. I'm going to return to our reading in Isaiah, where we began and continue the reading. Isaiah chapter 51, I'm going to read verses 9 through 16. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in ancient days, and the generation of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea and the water of the great deep, and hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid, O man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that thou hast stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if it were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteth that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fall. But I am the Lord thy God, that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name, and I have...
I'm going to go ahead and start the service tonight. You could be please turn to 407 for our opening song, 407. Would you please rise as we sing this song?
Thank you.
with me in a word of prayer? Our most kind and loving Father, we do desire to come before Thee this night to thank You for the many blessings of life, to give You thanks, Father, for this beautiful day which You've given us, that we were able to come together and consider the business at hand, and to be able to care for it in a manner and the spirit in which You have desired us to come. I do ask and pray now, Father, that You would be with us this night as we would have a desire to set one apart, to work among the other bishops, to be able to care for the finances and those things that are needful in these last days. I also pray, Father, that You be with our brother as He stands before us this night, that You would impart unto him Thy Spirit, that He would be able to bring forth those things in which You would have us to hear. I pray that Your Spirit would soften our hearts and that we might be able to receive those things with gladness and be able to apply them to our lives. Now, Father, we do ask and invite Thy Spirit to be here with us, and we do wait upon Thee, Father. And we thank You and we pray these things in the blessed name of Thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we have a special. Thank you very much for that special. Now the time has come that we, it doesn't happen too often, that because of a passing of our brother, that there is a vacancy within the bishopric, and we've elected in our conference that Rick Olson would be set aside as to fulfill those shoes that our brother Leroy has filled for many years. So we're going to take this time now that we would set him aside according to the scripture, that he might be able to function to care for the bride in these last days as a bishop.